With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, we are here today with a Southampton update from Sam Cox, who you can find over at Fresh Saints or on Twitter at Mr. Sam E. Cox. Absolute pleasure having you on, especially for the first time. In pretty inspiring form, I would assume, Mark Hughes, who of course was hired last season to try to keep you up and then did so. When he was hired for Southampton, a lot of people kind of raised their eyebrows considering he had just left Stoke, who he had just put into relegation position. What were your thoughts on the hire at the time?
Well, at the time, I think it was more of a case of anyone apart from Pellegrino. I think we were looking pretty certain to go down. I think the way we were playing, there was no confidence in the side, and a change was needed. And when you change a manager with only 8 games left of the season, you're not going to get anyone who's already in a job. So obviously we had to look at those out of management, and the criteria was someone with Premier League experience. And although, as you say, at Stoke he left them, you know, near the foot of the table, I think he fit the bill perfectly, and I think he's had a track record to a certain extent of getting teams out of danger. So at the time, it was more of a relief that Pellegrino had gone, and the fact that Hughes had some Premier League experience under his belt, I think it made sense. Obviously, there's always a worry when you appoint a manager of Hughes's of his ability, because of course he was sacked at QPR and Stoke. But at the time, as I said, I think we were just happy to have someone in who appeared to have a safe pair of hands.
Yeah, it seemed the turning point for your staying up, or it may have officially made you safe, was that win against Swansea, mm-hmm. Which both of you needed to win to really ensure your safety. How much of that win did you put down at Hughes' feet, or did you think there was kind of a natural turnaround coming?
To be honest, looking back on it, I think there was an upturn in form. Saints did look a lot better going forward in the games that Hughes was in charge. But I think we were also aided by sort of Swansea's capitulation towards the end of the season. If they hadn't lost to Bournemouth, and then of course going into the game against us, and which we managed to win, I think obviously Swansea could have been clear before that game was even played. But as you say, I think that game, I can't recall many times where there's been a relegation shootout, you know, on the penultimate game of the season quite like that. And I think Hughes' experience probably helped that situation more than perhaps Carlos Carvajal's at the time. But as you said, it's just one of those games which is almost a one-off in your season, and we were sort of fortunate to get the result. Swansea, as I said, sort of capitulated towards the end of the season, and they appeared to be on a lower trajectory than we were, and we managed to nick the game, and Gabbiadini popped up with a crucial goal. What helped Hughes was Bednarek having to come off injured, was forced off injured, and Hughes then saw that as an opportunity to bring on an extra striker, and that striker was Gabbiadini, and he popped up with the crucial goal.
Which hasn't been said too often of Gabbiadini, but at the time, obviously, as you say, a very important goal. So then you stay up, you head into the summer, and you make some pretty interesting signings. I liked the Vestergaard one. I know others were a little bit more cynical about that one. El Yunusi, very good. Ings was needed to be brought in because you've been struggling up front for years, whether it be because Charlie Austin was hurt or because you kept signing strikers like Carrillo or Gabbiadini, who had never scored more than like 6 goals in a season. Oftentimes when a manager is sacked this early, it comes down to poor summer business. But I didn't feel that was the case for you, did you?
Yes and no. As you alluded to with the Carrizo deal, I think the Danny Ings signing was great. A local lad who knows the club and has, if you keep him fit, he scores goals. But as you say, I think the reinvestment of the Van Dijk money that we got was wasted. You said 20 million on Carrizo. And I think it's shown that our former director of football and vice chairman, Les Reed, was also sacked a few weeks before Hughes, who was in charge of the transfers, in charge of the managerial appointments. And Hughes came out and said after Les Reed was sacked that he had no input on the transfers in the summer. And I think that showed, because there's been times this season where all of our summer signings have been on the bench, and Mark Hughes has opted for the players who were battling relegation last season. So I think in terms of the signings, as Hugh said, he didn't have too much of an input. I think that's not the case. I just think the way it panned out in terms of, as you said, the lack of goals and not being able to keep leads, I think it was a different issue towards the transfers why Hughes got the sack.
Yeah, obviously also the departure of Dusan Tadic, which was not particularly received well, although it was always strange to me how inconsistently he was played by a number of managers. So at a certain point, you have to ask what's going on with the player if that many different managers don't feel that they can trust him every single week. This season, you are fifth in chances created, seventh in shots on target, but 17th in goals. Do you think that if you had kept Hughes, things would have kind of normalized again, that things would have improved under him, or do you feel that the change was needed?
Personally, I think the change was needed. I think, as you allude to those stats there, it, under Hughes, it's not obviously been the problem of creating chances. It's been putting the ball in the back of the net, which isn't entirely down to Mark Hughes. It's about personnel. And, it is an odd one hearing those stats, because for many games this season, we just haven't looked like scoring. We've got the chances and we create half chances, but for some reason, we just couldn't put the ball in the net. And I just think at this moment in time, after the loss to Fulham and a point against Manchester United, which we were 2-0 up in, I think it's about the right time, especially with the game against Tottenham on Wednesday and then a massive game against Cardiff on the weekend.
Yeah, and then as we kind of close this Mark Hughes era, it ends with the draw against Manchester United, which seemingly would be a good result, and kind of like what happened with Jokanović at Fulham, where they finally started playing well against Liverpool. It seems an odd timing to shift them out. Do you think that this was kind of already decided going into this match?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think the Fulham game, I think the result against Fulham, the 3-2 defeat, was, I think that decided his fate, to be honest. And I think if you say to a manager, you have to get 3 points in your next match, it doesn't matter who that is if you haven't been able to pick up the points from the teams around you, regardless if it's Manchester United or Manchester City. And the fact we're also 2-0 up in the game, we threw it away with 15 minutes to go of the first half, I think that just cemented the decision for the board. And as you said, I think the Fulham result, the defeat, especially when we were in the lead in that game as well, I think that was a decision made after Fulham.
Interesting stuff. With him now gone, what were your best and worst memories under Mark Hughes?
Best memory for sure is the Swansea game. I attended the match and I've not seen celebrations like that for a goal for Saints for a long while. I don't think I've ever seen scenes like that. And it was just a fantastic game, and the jubilation at full time was something I'll always remember. Worst memory, probably I think Fulham would be up there, because I'm not trying to be disrespectful towards Fulham, but I thought they were there for the taking, and we came away with no points. And also the continual excuses from Hughes post match. He always used to find a way of passing the blame or having an excuse for why we weren't performing, where in reality it was down to Saints not being good enough.
All right, well, out he goes. Not officially confirmed yet, but a lot of people reporting that Raif Hasenhüttl will be your next manager. And at a first glance, it seems to be a very good fit. Typically plays a 4-2-2-2. And up front is where I think things are really interesting because he tends to play big and little. It was Poulsen and Timo Werner, at least in the good year, for RB Leipzig. And it seems like you could kind of duplicate that with Austin and Ings.
Yeah, I think so. I'm quietly optimistic about the appointment, but as you say, I think the goal scoring, as the stats you read off earlier, the goal scoring has been an issue. And if he's got a designated or a tactic to stick by for strikers, then yeah, I'm quite confident and quite excited about the prospect. I think we've got, as you say, with the big and small strikers, we've got, as you say, Danny Ings, and can play that role, but also the youngster Michael Obafemi, who's come in the past few games and looked quite sharp and looks quite a raw talent who could definitely fit well in that system. As you say, Austin hasn't had the best year of late, and perhaps in a role alongside another striker will benefit as well.
Yeah, then obviously in a 4-2-2-2, there's lots of pairings of twos. The central midfield one is interesting because typically you have one player kind of sitting back almost in front of the center backs. You'd assume that would be Lamina. But who do you think would pair best next to him? Would it be Ward-Prowse, or would it be Højbjerg, or best player in the Premier League right now, Stuart Armstrong?
Well, that's the interesting thing because, as you say, Armstrong has been our informed player for the past two games, and he's been playing sort of in behind the striker in a sort of 4-4-3-3, 4-2-3-1 formation that Hughes implemented in his last couple of games. I think we've got options if he goes with that formation, which is something we haven't really had. I think at the moment, Højbjerg and Lamina have proven to be a good midfield pairing for the season. I think they both sort of highlight and complement each other's strengths and weaknesses. As you said before as well, with Ward-Prowse, I'm a fan of Ward-Prowse. I think he's got qualities there, and I just think he needs a good run in the side. And in this formation and in this system, I think he could flourish. I think he's a player with potential still. I know he's in his almost coming up to his mid-20s now, but I still think there's potential to be unearthed there. And yeah, I think with this new manager, I think he could really flourish in this system. But as you say, with the defensive midfielder as well, we've got Oriol Romeo, who can come in and fill that gap as well instead of Lamina. So as you say, he's going to come in, and if he implements the 4-2-2-2, then he's got a wide range of options in that midfield pairing.
Yeah, aside from those guys, are there any players in particular that you think will benefit or maybe struggle under the new manager or new system?
I think Elyounoussi will benefit. We've seen him not too regularly this season, and when we have, he's sort of flat to the seam really, as he adapts to this division. Funnily enough, I was watching the Manchester City documentary the other day, and Elyounoussi was playing in the game against Basel, and he scored at the Etihad, and he looked like a completely different player to the one we've seen so far this season. So with a manager coming from the German division, I think he'll benefit. Players who might struggle, I'm just trying to think now. I think Redmond's played well this season. He's probably been our outstanding player. It'd be interesting to see if he'll fit into this, how he'll fit into the system, because Hughes has been opted to play him sort of leading the line or sitting behind Obafemi. Especially did it against Manchester United. So I think it'd be interesting to see how he fits into the situation and system.
Cool. Well, it'll certainly be very interesting. How do you think your expectations for the season will change? Is it simply just staying up? Is it just seeing a more exciting brand of football?
I think so. I think it has to be. I think it has to be just staying up. Last season, we finished 17th. I was quite optimistic about the season starting in pre-season, and probably got a little bit carried away with myself and thought we'd finish higher than we probably should have been expecting. But as you say, at this moment in time, we're sitting in the bottom three. We're only 1 point off the bottom of the Premier League. So I think our expectation this season has to be staying up. But whilst playing a nice, attractive brand of football, as long as it gets the job done so far. But I think that's what the new manager will bring. As you say, I think the expectation has to be just to stay up, but also be competitive in games against teams against the top six, because that's something we haven't really done in the past two seasons.
Yeah, well, certainly good luck. Maybe not this weekend. I do happen to be a Tottenham fan, but after that, it'll certainly be interesting. On the even larger scale than that, Hasenhüttl and RB Leipzig in particular both tended to focus on young players and growing them through, which seems a lot more in line with the long-term ethos of Southampton. Are you excited to see that return in your manager's eyes, as well as maybe a redevelopment of that within the club?
Yeah, for sure. As I said, the two players who've come in recently has been Jan Valery and Michael Obafemi from the academy. But apart from them, we've seen players shipped out on loan, like Josh Sims and Harrison Reed have both gone out on loan this season, when I thought they probably could have done a job for us in the Premier League this campaign. Under Mauricio Pochettino, we did see an emergence of youth team players. Luke Shaw came through, Callum Chambers, and when Ronald Koeman came in, that almost stopped. We saw less and less youth team players be used, and it probably stumped the growth of certain youth team players. Claude Puel came in, and we saw Josh Sims make his debut, but then since Pellegrino then took over again, it stopped. So yeah, it's something that Southampton Football Club prides itself on, of having a good academy and giving youth team players a chance. It's something that we haven't been able to do in the past couple of seasons, and by appointing someone like Hasenhüttl, I think that will just realign that ethos of the club, and the fans love to see a player play from the youth academy. So the more players he can bring through and develop and become first team regulars, the better.
Cool. Any final thoughts on all this?
Just looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing how this transpires. As I said, we've got a big game against Cardiff on Saturday and Tottenham on Wednesday, but Calvin Davis is in charge of that game. We're still awaiting the official confirmation, so I'm still a little bit just sat on the edge of my seat just in case, but I'm fairly confident that he will come in, and yeah, I'm just excited to see how it transpires, and hopefully Saints can pull away from the drop zone and start looking towards sort of mid-table, and then hopefully next season we can become a competitive side once again.
Awesome. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you, Sam. Where should people find you, and is there anything you're working on?
Just at Fresh Saints on Twitter, and on my own handle, as you said at the start of the show, at Mr. Sam Ecox. Just Saints views, Saints articles, and just everything for Saints really we cover. So yeah, that's where to find me on Twitter, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. Fantastic debut. And hopefully we'll get
thank
to speak
you.
To you again.
Yeah, hopefully. I'd love to come back on. Thank you for having me.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club, with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.